Oi, you. It's time for another episode of Dorothy and the Dealer. Let's tune into the conversation.
How are we going?
Good, yeah. Can we just scratch on, for Christ's sake? Every time
like
we start a podcast,
I get a bit of a kicking.
No, I think what it does is it gets me a lot of
sympathy. Loved.
Gets me a lot of sympathy from the.
By the way, how is Gargamel these days?
Who is Gargamel? Gargamel from the cartoon. What was that? Gargamel was
Smurfs.
The Smurfs. That's right.
Yeah. How is he?
It's because I'm wearing a blue top. I look like a Smurf.
And yesterday you were wearing the blue top.
I was very blue yesterday, wasn't I?
Anyway.
What was it?
We
was
like taking the Mickey out of him.
Papa Smurf.
And you know, you really know
what was the girl's name? What was the girl's name? Papa Smurf and
I really had to Google Gargamel.
Smurfette.
She was the only Smurf in the village.
Right. Yeah.
The only female.
Sorry, which, not female Smurf, I mean.
If there's any reality to that video, that's a bit scary.
Yeah, it is terrifying. moving right along, what are we talking about?
What are we talking about, Mike? What do we say we're going to talk about?
Look, we were having a bit of a chat about like the different, because we always say that there takes three different personalities to kind of really get a business up and going.
Yeah.
And I get tons of questions about that. I think what it is we're so conditioned to look at roles in a business that people go, oh, because I'm in this role, that must mean I'm a.
Yeah.
And it's like, no.
Meaning, because I have a marketing career, I must be the
rainmaker. Or somebody looks and they go, well, I want to be the talent. The talent sounds like the one you want to be.
Mm.
It's like they don't see the shadow side of the talent.
Yeah.
And we were actually talking to Kirby here, and she goes, we've got the three of you in this room. Mm-hmm. Like there's clearly three different personalities sitting right here at the table.
She also said that I was the best. So
what she was actually pointing out was that the rainmaker.
She's actually in convulsions on the floor.
The
after
natural,
said that.
Yeah. The rainmaker is the one that makes it all happen.
Makes it rain.
Okay, she's starting to choke.
Right?
She's starting to choke.
Well, we've done a whole podcast on those different roles, but I think it'd probably be cool to see how they play out in all of us, in all three of us, right?
Yeah.
And I think we'll maybe focus a little bit more on the shadow sides today so that people can really see.
Yeah, maybe that's a good idea. Mm. Let's start with the rainmaker.
Sure. Let's talk about the faults of a rainmaker.
Because as soon as you said that he was a rainmaker, he's like, yes. And he puffed up his chest.
No,
and
I'm the rainmaker.
But
I did have kind of an angelic moment.
And then for the next 3 months, he's like, I'm the rainmaker in this business. Like, and he's just like letting everybody
have
know.
Have I ever done any of that shit? I have not ever.
Yes, you have.
No.
In your own nice little not so subtle way.
Yeah.
You do kind of mention that you're the rainmaker around
here.
Do you
I?
Just think it's the best.
Maybe
of
I
the
have
best.
Said that a few times. Listen,
you might have.
Have I gone, listen, motherfuckers, I'm the rainmaker.
Something like that.
No.
Bow to me. I am your dark overlord.
You have done that, but not in the term. You've always done that.
So what does a rainmaker do? Mike, tell him what a rainmaker does.
Look, let's put him up first. Tell him what the good parts about the rainmaker.
So the good side, the way to look at rainmakers, they're like the one that gets you the resources because they see the opportunity.
Yep.
Right? So they see the opportunity and they're generally very charming.
Mm-hmm.
They're very good at talking. They're very good at influencing people and therefore they can get whatever resources the business needs. So if they need sales, they tend to be very good at it.
Mm-hmm.
If they need investment, they tend to be very good at it. They can also be incredible recruiters if they know they need a specific talent in the business. They're very good at influencing. That is the quintessential sign of a rainmaker is they have the ability to get whatever resources the business needs. Now, they might not have it personally, but they know where to get it or how to convince somebody to hand it over.
Do you know that is a perfect explanation of what I'm like? I am fucking literally just like that. I will see somebody who's on fire about a product and I'll go, mate, we can triple the size of this like tomorrow. I have the right people who I know we can bring in to make that thing do what it fucking needs to do.
Yeah.
And it's literally what I do. It's literally hands down, that's what I do. And then if we need to close stuff, we need to do sales or do anything like that, I know, because I feel this connection with the person who has the idea or the concept, and I understand that fire, you know what I mean? Like, I understand that part of them that is so certain that for me, it's like, I meet this kindred spirit and it's like, yeah, we can fucking, and I just want to make it happen for them, you know?
Yeah.
Even if it's somebody that's starting something out and I'm not financially getting involved, But if I see that they have that far, I'll go, okay, tell me what you need. I need this and this and this. Okay, ring this person. I'll ring them as well. Let them know you're going to call. Da-da-da-da-da. They're amazing. Just mention my name and they'll help you out. And so I definitely see that they're some of the things that I do. But managing any of it?
Well, I was going to say, that was all the plus side. Bet you he's going to like appreciate the shadow side too.
Okay, so here's the thing, right? Everybody goes, oh, because I'm a salesman, I must be a rainmaker. Well, that's not what makes you a rainmaker. It's the trait, right? So rainmaker can be any position in your business, but it's that kind of insight. Now, the other thing is there is a dark side. There's a shadow side to all of this. And so the shadow side is because everything looks like an opportunity to a rainmaker, they can often throw out the baby with the bathwater.
Mm-hmm. Meaning what?
Meaning the grass always looks greener. So it's here's the opportunity here. And then, you know what? Maybe we should just stop that altogether and put all of our energy over here.
Absolutely.
And so they never actually see anything
through.
That doesn't
sound like Mitch at all.
The other thing is they tend to be very quick because they're getting other people involved. They don't see the complexity of what they're asking people to do.
Absolutely.
And because everyone's nodding their head
in agreement. Okay.
So that is the downside of the rainmaker is everything in their head is happening right now. Like nothing can happen fast enough for a rainmaker. Mm-hmm. Nothing. Mm. Their attention spans tend to be quite short for that reason.
Where the fuck did you learn all that? Like, honestly, tell me the book.
I think that he looked up
Tell
Rainmaker,
me the fucking book.
Where the fuck did you learn all that? Rainmaker.
Seriously.
So a bit of background, right? So when I work for recruitment, I work for a company called Chandler McLeod. And they had a psychological test called the Hums-Wadsworth. And what they took was eight...
Hums-Wadsworth.
Yeah. And what they did was they took eight clinical profiles, meaning like schizophrenics. Yeah. And then what they did is they put a normal, like a normal base over the top of them. And they developed these profiles. And so what happened was you started to see specific profiles. So you started to see what we called the hustler politician profile came out is what I kind of started to recognize as a rainmaker. And so what that was is there's a bit of what's in it for me. And there's a bit of, I know how to influence or to create power. And I know how to get other people involved because they don't necessarily want to do it themselves. Mm-hmm. Because they feel like if they get too involved, they're going to miss out on opportunities.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. And so what happened was as I started to get into business, this profile kind of sits at the back of my mind. Mm-hmm. And I'm just constantly going like, okay, that's more like this. That's more like that. I knew I couldn't have 19 different profiles. I knew I needed three. And then as I started to get into business, I started realizing like, because I was trying to do it all when I first started. I couldn't figure out why I was so valuable in a corporate standing. And I just could not make it work for myself.
So you're trying to be the manager, the talent.
I was trying to be all three because I thought, you know, a business owner, that's what you have to do. You have to be all three. Now, you're probably capable of all three. So I was certainly capable of doing all three things. But my personality was I always preferred the one thing. Mm. So anytime I get stressed out or anytime a challenge would come up, I would dive into that one area and I'd let the other two go.
Mm. So that's something important for people to understand that are getting into business or in business. Very quickly, and I never knew until I met you, very quickly work out which one you are. Work out your faults. Be okay with your faults. Know when they turn up. Be able to manage them correctly. And then also know what you're good at, you know, and what your areas of value are to the marketplace. And work it out fucking quickly and delegate the shit out of everything else. Don't try to be all
spoken
three.
Like a true rainmaker. Exactly. Yeah, delegate the shit out of it. Get
so
other people
what are
to do
his
it.
Other what are his other shadow sides?
No, for fuck's sake.
Is there anything else?
Yep. No, look, that's the majority of it. The rest of them come more from the parents than from the perspective.
Ah, there you go.
Okay, can we talk about the manager now?
All right. Why do you want to talk about the manager? Who represents the manager?
Well, it's obviously Mills.
Yeah. So the manager is like the doer. They're like it's a
who do
way
they really
want to
be though? Who do they want to be?
Well, no, we'll talk about that when we get to the show. Okay. So the manager is like the doer, the general. You should see the look she's giving Mitch right now for trying to throw her under the bus. So the manager is not like the role, right? It's like, oh, I've been a manager, I manage people. It's the personality. And the personality is about getting stuff done, right? So the manager is just about getting it done. They're not as focused on result. And they're not as they're very, risk focused. So they're like, this needs to work and it needs to work all the time. They tend to be very good with people. They're super empathetic because they recognize that people are part of the overall system. But they resist change, but they love getting stuff to follow through to the end. So they can see how it's systemized. But the core trait, the beautiful trait of a manager is they get it done. Right? So everybody can talk the game. The manager is the one that actually gets it done. And so I think a lot of people, they're the hardest to find. They're actually the most rare of the three. You think about it, like all the people you met, how many people talk about getting stuff done but actually get it done? So there's different skill levels, obviously. You got people that get stuff done, but they don't do it very well.
Yep.
But a manager's personality type is action-oriented. It's like, let me just get this done. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's not, they don't want to sit in planning phase forever. They just want to get it executed. Mm. They tend to be very good delegators. They tend to be very system oriented. They tend to be very inventive. They're very good with people. They generally, especially those nice conversations, you know, those like, hey, this is your role. This is what I need you to do. They tend to be very good with that. They're good administratively generally because they're risk adverse. But yeah, that's kind of the upsides.
What are the downsides?
Let's find out what the downsides are, because you're none of those upsides.
I'm totally those upsides.
The downside is because the other two roles tend to get the kind of star power in the business, they're the ones that get noticed from the outside. The manager always sees more value in the other two roles and tends to devalue who they are in the organization. They often feel unappreciated. So they can go very dark, they can go moody, they can be very emotional people themselves.
It's like he's reaching into my soul and understanding
He's
it.
Describing you 80% of the time.
No, that's not true.
So it's they can feel very unappreciated. They do struggle with conflict because they're so used to because they're so risk adverse. And because they're so used to the system working that when it doesn't, they can really struggle with those situations. Mm-hmm. They do struggle with transition or change. So if something gets asked to be done a new way, they really...
What happens if something gets asked to be done a new way, Mike, on the day that it's supposed to be delivered?
I'm in the middle of a fight.
How does that roll out for a manager?
All right. Can you
mention... Because the Rainmaker actually thinks
that they talk over people? A lot in major meetings when they're not meant to be talking over people.
You know what? This feels like my old relationship coaching days, and I'm in the middle of couples therapy. But that's really kind of the downside with the managers. They are risk adverse. Even if they're not getting the result anymore, they don't want to let go of the system because the system works so well and they're not results focused themselves.
Mm. So how would you advise a manager to optimize their performance?
Look, so it's the 80-20 principle. So what you would do is you really systemize them on, you know, okay, which parts of the system do the most, which parts don't, so that they can actually start to analyze the system. And then really just giving them, like, you would challenge their system with the other two roles and keep bringing them in. You have to appreciate a manager, though, because their natural kind of point of view is always to feel unappreciated. And so if you're not appreciating what they bring, the value they bring to the table,
right,
then you're going to lose that manager and they're going to stop performing for
you. Wow. And are you allowed to hit a manager?
You're not allowed to hit anybody.
Oh. Okay. What if nobody's looking?
You're making it personal.
What if nobody's looking?
Okay, let's talk.
Wow, you're showing more shadow signs of the rainmaker.
Of the rainmaker, to be fair. Yeah, we're going to change this. We're going to do it today, and I expect you to fully be on board with that without actually having a conversation about it.
Yeah.
Then all manager, if that happens in reality, all the manager hears is risk, 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 red alarm bells, risk,
that's
risk, 100% risk,
me.
Risk, risk.
That's 100%. Yeah. If I can plan, and then he gets cross because I'm like, well, no, because in my head I've got, and all he thinks is I'm shitting on his parade, but I'm not. I'm actually on his side. But this is how I see it. It just needs a little bit of time to get to that point.
The downside to the manager is because all they see is risk.
Yeah.
They assume all the ideas are doomed to fail.
Do you think that's the case?
That was not a scratch.
I don't feel like that's the case for me. Having said that, I do when I feel like it's been put and it feels like it's like a not a discussion. It's a last. It's just a thing.
Look, and that's just a thing with the manager, right? Because they see so much risk, everything looks like it could fail.
Yeah,
and so I do it's see like that. I know this system's currently working, but I don't know that idea will. And so I'd rather stick with what we know than try this new thing. And that's always going to be – so the manager has to be aware that that's just the way they look at things.
Right.
So talk about the talent then.
All right. So
and be honest, Mike. Michael, look at me.
No. He'll be honest.
I'll be very honest. Because people are listening to this.
So we'll start again with the upside. So the talents are – they're out-of-the-box thinkers. They tend to be very visionary. They tend to think about things differently. They're very customer-focused. So they tend to go, how do we improve this? How do we make it better? They're very big thinkers as well. So they can come up with concepts that are just grandiose in size. They're also very inspiring. People tend to get very excited around them. They can bring people on board too. They can be quite inspiring in the overall sense. They're typically good at sales. The downsides, though, and I know
they,
really
I know
over.
Exactly one of the downsides. You get getting frustrated when things don't.
They're not systems. Or
they have no idea about systems in any way, shape, or form.
At all.
Okay, so they can be, but what I will say is often their vision is actually beyond their capability to deliver it.
Yeah.
And so what happens, and they don't like downsizing their vision. They hate downsizing their vision. Yeah. So the frustration or the system's challenges that you often see in a visionary is just in the fact that they haven't allowed themselves to accept help in order to bring that vision to life. So they haven't been able to communicate that vision to everybody else and allow themselves to accept the help of getting that to come to life.
So do they blame the rainmaker and the manager a lot?
Visionaries blame everybody.
I like how he's gone from talent to visionary.
So visionaries, talents. And the reason I kind of change and I'm doing that for you, Mills, is because when we say talent, people go, I'm talented.
I'm the talent.
But people go, I'm talented. I'm like, well, yeah, everybody that works in your business should be talented at what they do. That doesn't make you the talent. Right? And it's like...
Because if you want to know if Millsy's talent, just watch her in the kitchen.
Yeah. So everybody's got talents and everybody's got weaknesses. So with that kind of talent, or what we call the talent, that visionary thinker, right? They're uber creative, right? But they don't deal with people very well because they always kind of feel like nobody gets them. And so they tend to be prickly. They tend to get frustrated. Like you never have a visionary.
Moody.
Yep, moody. They tend. You never have a visionary manage your people because when things are going well, while they'd be super inspirational and everybody love them, when things aren't going well, they're likely to throw a grenade, right? Like because they just want to blow everything
that
up.
That is so you.
So it's look. And here's the reason is we're doing
this
all this.
Is great.
Right?
This is great. This is for everybody, including me. I'm really enjoying this.
Yeah, and I think what you want to do is you want to see your strengths because you need to maximize those strengths. Yeah. Right, but you need to be aware of where your challenges are. And so one of the things that I used to struggle with, right, is I get all these people on board with my business idea. Oh, I'll help it with that. That sounds amazing. And then about 3 weeks in, somebody would try to downsize my vision. Somebody like, oh, mate, you can't do that. We're going to have to do it this way. And I go, oh, fuck you. And I just blow up.
Yeah.
And then everybody would scatter.
Yeah.
And then it'd be like, I'm on my own again.
Yeah.
And then I go out, I start to get the vision, I get people on board, and then somebody downsizes my vision, I blow up, and it was like, here we go.
Fuck.
And it's like, and that was just the thing. And so, and the other thing is,
have you nearly done that here a few times?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I throw, you know what? What's what I love about this
incoming!
Team?
Incoming!
What I love about this team is they now recognize that is my downside. Mm. And so if they see the grenade coming over the wall, they all just grab their shields. Right? They're like,
we're not leaving. Yeah. We're not leaving.
It's like, we love you enough to recognize this is your weakness that we're just going to let the thing, because they know once it's blown up, it's fine.
Yep.
Right? But we're just going to let it blow up as opposed to reacting to it. And that was what I love about this team is that we can see each other's shadow side and go, okay, no, I see that. It doesn't mean that it's an excuse for you to act that way, right? It doesn't mean that I just go, that's who I am. Fuck it, take it. Like I've got to work on that myself. But at the same time, I've got to recognize like this is what happens. And what's triggering it, Mike? Well, what's triggering it is you either haven't communicated the vision properly, so nobody gets it, and that's why they're downplaying it, or you've made it too big.
Right.
right? And we haven't stepped it back. So you've got to own this and go, right, am I right or wrong here? In which case, if I'm wrong, well, then kind of modify your behavior going forward. If I'm right, then go communicate that and go, no, this can't change. This has to be this way.
So to finish up, right, I think it really demonstrates our personalities quite well, actually, just understanding that. If we're in a business, we've got the three personality types in this business. Obviously, you'd have them more than once as well with the different people in the organization.
Now, just to be clear, right? They don't actually have to be in the business. They just got to be around you.
But that's what I'm going to say. Like, if you are starting a business and you're the talent, or let's say you're the manager, or let's say you're the rainmaker, and you don't have the other three in your business, or even if you're a solo person, like, you know, what do you do? How do you find them? What's the process?
So, well, you can do it in a number of ways, right? You can build up an advisory board with mentors, people that you talk to. That's certainly how I tried to do it at first, but I just found more people like me. So you got to seek out people that challenge you. Right. So here's kind of the point when you know you've got it right, right? So while we know when we're on, we love each other, mm-hmm. yeah? But we also know that each of us pushes each other's buttons, can shit us off. And while that feels uncomfortable, we actually need it of one another. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think people avoid that conflict.
Mm. Yeah.
They go, because this person doesn't agree with me, I just want to move them away. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, you actually need that person. Like, if I was allowed to go do what I wanted to do and nobody pulled me into check, I would spend so much money. Mm. I would never capitalize on the project because I would be constantly just improving it. Mm. Right? I would never see any risk in anything I did. Mm-hmm. Because I'm so customer focused that I just assume there's no risk there. Mm-hmm. Like, I need to have those people around me. And so you can find it through advisor groups. You can find it through business networking groups. You have to pursue it, though. I don't actually think, while I believe these people are already around you, you do have to pursue building this team. I don't think they naturally just fall together.
I think that's a really important point that I always ram home when I'm speaking to young people that are starting businesses, or anybody that's starting a business. And we say it true, particularly true Mastermind of Money, but all true everything that we do. Everything you need, you have around you, including the money. Everything you need, you have around you. It never ceases to amaze me that when a person, but it's a funny thing, right?
Can I just, that note, Mitch, right? Yeah. Just so that people really kind of get that point, you go, like even the money. And people go, well, I don't see where the money is. I'm like, but maybe that's why you need the rainmaker. Because the rainmaker knows how to get access to the money.
Yeah.
Right? And so you might not have the money visibly, a bag of money sitting in front of you, but you might have a rainmaker sitting right next to you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I think in terms of what you need, in order to be able to see what's around you, you have to be able to step outside of your box of normality. You have to do things that other people wouldn't do. You have to go to places that other people wouldn't go to, and you have to say things to people that and ask things of people that would other people wouldn't ask.
Is that a rainmaker talking right now, though?
No, I think, look, that's the business growth mindset, right? Yeah. It is, like we said on another podcast, that you have to obsess about it.
Yeah.
And it's in your obsession, it's in that drive, that willingness. Like when I would win championships in sports and when I did it through coaching teams, we would always say, you got to play the game nobody wants to play. Mm. And it's not going to be easy for you either, but you know that they don't want to play it. Mm. And so that's that, yeah, you've got to go out there and you've got to be driven. You've got to go for it. You've got to like commit to this. You got to be willing to die on this battlefield or you're not going to see any of it. Mm. And then you got to get yourself out of the way. Mm-hmm. You got to go, what don't I know? Mm-hmm. You got to wake up every day going, what don't I know? What don't I see? And who sees it for me?
Mm-hmm. I like it.
Yeah, I think that's a really, really important point. I mean, the only because what you need to get it, when we say it's all around you, sometimes it's the whole concept that you put your hands out, you know, it's just outside your fingertips. And as soon as you go to grab it, you lose it, right? Mm-hmm. So therefore, you have to step into something else. You have to step into someone else's persona. You have to become the thing that you always thought you weren't. You have to say the things that you never thought you could. And when you do that, that's when people know that you're doing it because it's a vibration game, know that you're doing it. And then that's when they want to participate and that's when they want to help.
Yeah, and I think that's the definition for me. What that is you step into that role that you really are as opposed to where you're trying to be the other two things.
Yeah.
And you're feeling that lack in those two areas. And so you never really stand up. But I think you only really attract. Like if I'm the talent, I need to fully step into being the talent.
Yeah.
And yep. I have to let go of the fact that I'm not the manager and I'm not the rainmaker so that I can see those people around me.
Yeah. Yep.
Because the more I try to pretend, Definitely. The more I lack in those areas. And therefore, even if I have that person sitting yeah. next to me, I never approach them because I feel like I'll be, you know, in a pit compared to them.
Yeah.
Right. Like I could be sitting next to you in a rainmaker and, you know, I won't talk to you because I feel such a lack in talking to you.
Yeah.
Because I go, I'm not good enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not supposed to be. I need to be great over here. I just need to know you here.
Yeah. 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 I like it. Yeah. Really
that
good.
That was point. Good. I basically learned that I'm the best. So yeah, we can finish there. Carry on.
Yeah. We isn't learned that too. How, we that learned that. Didn't we learn that too, Mike? That Millsy's the best?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm. What's the shadow side again?
I don't know.
Which one are you?
I think it was something about righteousness, wasn't it?
No. Oh dear. Okay, if you're looking to bulletproof your business, here at MJB Seminars, we have the tools and strategies to supercharge your profits and stop you from becoming one of the 97% of organizations that fail within their first 10 years.
So you can learn more about this truly unique system by liking and following us at MJB Seminars over on Instagram and Facebook. And don't forget to subscribe to Dorothy and the Dealer podcast so you never miss a business episode again.
Registrations for our business course are by application, and you can express your interest by emailing evolve@mjbseminars.com.au.